Blog Talk Radio.
Listen to their struggles as they turn them into triumphs. In a city full of challenges, they only search for victory, and nothing will hold them back. These are their stories. So sit back, relax, and welcome to their city. Wrestle City Radio.
And welcome to another edition, or should I say the return episode of Wrestle City Radio. We have returned after the attack of that B-I-T-C-H, Hurricane Irma. Of course, I call her that for the destruction that is has caused not only the state of Florida, but also in the of course, the Leeward Islands and the Virgin Islands, and of course, that other B-I-T-C-H, Hurricane Maria. Guys, make sure before we go into our little jokes and rampages and opinions, guys, make sure you go ahead and donate what you can to islands, like especially like Puerto Rico and, of course, the Virgin Islands from Hurricane Irma, as they all need our help right now. And make sure that you find your nearest Red Cross or nearest donation site for Puerto Rico or these islands or, of course, Key West or whoever you want to send a donation to. Make sure you find your nearest donation site. Please exclude money as they are not taking any money. Make sure to send in canned foods, clothes, water, anything you could send out to help out these islands. Now, of course, besides talking about that, I have to introduce my partner here. Apparently, you know, he took a vacation to a certain location, and now he's changed his nationality. So now he feels like he's the best of both worlds, per se. Just because you visit a different country, Ray Raymundo, doesn't make you Mexican, okay?
Oh, you're going to get that one later. But ladies and gentlemen, The Raw is back on Wrestle City Radio, and I'm invading this show just like the Bullet Club will invade Raw. Because, brother, I'm just too sweet. And we're back. And you know the reason you're listening is because I'm back. You saw my live stream. Our live stream got more views than any video you've done, George. And it was because I was on. It's because of me, damn it. Now let's get with the show. How you doing, George?
Did you drink enough of the water over there while you were there? Because...
Oh, I drank a little bit of that tequila. It was delicious.
All right, guys. Well, again, welcome to the return episode of Wrestle City Radio. For once, I actually have to say, as much as I hate you, Ray, I actually missed you while I was gone. But, guys, we are back every week now, same time on Mondays at 7 p.m., of course, turning into 6 p.m. starting next month. But also, guys, to let you know, for every guest that we were able to miss due to Hurricane Irma, we will be rescheduling them in the month of November. So they will be coming on the show. We just need to reschedule them, and they'll be on in November. I know we were supposed to have Cody and Izzy on our big, of course, fan appreciation night here. Izzy, if you don't know who we're talking about, you know, you basically, long story short, is that famous Bailey super fan. She was going to come on the show. But again, we do have some great, great guests coming up in October, including tonight's guest, which you're very familiar with, Ray Raymundo. I'm talking about the elite athlete and the first ever BCW World Heavyweight Champion, Mike Orlando will be on the show. You're very familiar with him, aren't you?
Oh, I'm familiar with the Green Machine. Me and the good brother were at BCW on Saturday, and we're going to talk about it later on. He had a successful, unsuccessful matchup against Homicide. We'll talk about that later on, but stay tuned to that, folks. The Green Machine, the elite athlete, the man of so many names, is on Wrestle City Radio. It's going to be a green show tonight. Woo!
Yep, the Green Machine will be here. But again, talking about Green, of course, we're talking about Green, the machine with Mike Orlando a little later. But guys, we have a couple top things to talk about right now before we go ahead and bring in Mike Orlando. Of course, guys, one of the main things that's going all over social media right now that's actually being the talk of the wrestling world right now was Enzo Amore winning the Cruiserweight Championship last night on No Mercy when he defeated Neville for the Cruiserweight title. And that a lot of people are livid about that. And mind you, a lot of people even dare to get screenshots of different Cruiserweights of what they went on to say on Twitter. Like, of course, Cedric Alexander posted up Welp, you know, Lince Dorado even went as far as saying back to the drawing board. Of course, Drew Gulak with the whole no kind of thing. And, of course, so much more people commenting on Enzo Amore's Cruiserweight title win. But before I say mine, I want to get to you, Ray. What do you have to say about that?
Enzo Amore. Now, I can't say it wasn't predictable. I called it months ago. Once it started with, okay, we're going to bring down Enzo to 205 Live because we have nothing else. I said the minute he's legitimately on the roster, he'll be champion by the next pay-per-view. What happens? Enzo Amore defeats Neville. Clean? No. This is what killed it for me is because, wrestling psychology. Folks, he's the babyface. He did everything a heel's supposed to do. Waits out the count, grabs the belt to get his opponent to come out. Low blows Neville. So, yes, spoiler, folks. Enzo Amore is your new Cruiserweight champion. Why couldn't they just give it to Tony Nese? I'm just being biased because it's a fellow New Yorker. What do you think, George? Is this a yay or a nay?
As far as, you know, that's a great, you know, as a matter of fact, whether New York or not, Tony Nese is one of the great candidates for the Cruiserweight Championship. So I'm not going to bash you on that one. But basically, a lot of people were kind of surprised also that Enzo Amore won this championship due to the apparent heat that he has backstage, you know, with everyone hating him and as far as, like, him being kicked out of the locker room and all that, so on and so forth. Like, personally, I saw it from a mile away. You know, I saw it from a mile away happening. Once Enzo was announced to be in the Cruiserweight division, I saw him winning the championship. Why? Because they're trying to build the star power in the Cruiserweight division in order to build that rating that they don't have.
But they have star-studded Cruiserweight division.
Indies. Let me explain something to you. There's a difference, of course, to the brand, to the division per se, when Triple H was running it in the Cruiserweight Classic, to then when the torch was passed over to Vince or Michael P.S. Hayes or whoever runs it backstage. So you can tell the difference of the two, okay?
You definitely can.
So basically what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying it's the Cruiserweight's fault. They have a five-star roster on there. They have Cedric Alexander. They have Drew Gulak. They have Brian Kendrick. They have T.J. Perkins. They have Lince Dorado. They have so many people. Grand Metalik, you know, all these people. Not even boring, okay? These people are definitely not boring because if you think they are, go back to watch the Cruiserweight Classic and tell me that again, okay? But when they finally were brought up to the main arenas, then the torch was passed from Triple H to someone else, And I'm not going to point fingers again, whether it's Vince, Michael PSAs, Shane McMahon, whoever it is, they lost that touch because now the cruiserweights are not the cruiserweights. They're not allowed to be what they are. So now what's management doing?
Instead, they give us the Beetlejuice.
Yeah, exactly. They, instead of letting the cruiserweights be the cruiserweights, even Eric Bischoff has said it, the reason why the cruiserweight division in WCW was successful was because he allowed the cruiserweights to be them. So instead of the cruiserweights being them in the WWE, what did they do? No, they said, we're not going to still let them be them. We're going to bring in another star, maybe to help up bring the ratings. You know what's one thing I kind of surprised with, Ray?
What?
That they brought up Enzo Amore and they did not, I repeat, they did not bring up Kalisto.
You know why I feel like they're not going to give Kalisto that? Because even with Enzo, it felt like, oh, they're going to demote Enzo. Kalisto's already been U.S. champion, tag team champion. It's like Kalisto has made a name for himself that I still see him hopefully one day maybe an IC champion again, something like that. The cruiserweight division is like, I guess right now, it's like under mid-card, sadly, which it shouldn't be because, like I said, it's a roster full of the best of the indies, guys that here in New York I got to see a lot of. Ironically, Mike Orlando has faced Tony Nese that I mentioned earlier, so I'll talk about that later on too. But it's like guys that you know from around. They've been on PWG. They've been here. They've been in ROH. It's guys that shouldn't have a problem putting on a show and having people stay for the show. People do not want to stay for 205 Live. It's like, what the hell? It's like, it's supposed to be the best of the best, and sadly now it's Beetlejuice.
Well,
sorry, that attire last night just reminded me of Beetlejuice so much. I think I've said it 3 times. Oh God damn it, George. We're screwed. Beetlejuice is coming to you.
Ray, didn't that one time, didn't they not say that Sakara was part of the Cruiserweight division at one time?
What'd you say, George? You were breaking up, brother.
Okay, I said that, didn't they announce Sin Cara being part of the Cruiserweight division at one time?
Yes, he was.
That's what I thought.
And I haven't seen Sakara anywhere. I think he actually is injured at the moment. Because I haven't seen him like at a Superstars or anything. So, I don't know. I hope Sin Cara does come back. I know his counterpart, Mystico, is doing awesome in Mexico. So, hopefully, or Mystic. I don't know. I don't know how you want to call him. I just know the original guy under the mask is doing fine. So hopefully, kayfabe, Hunico does some good in WWE as well.
Well, okay, and mind you, another topic to talk about here on the show, of course, as we saw last night during No Mercy, they played another teaser for Asuka, where Asuka will be debuting at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. They did not mention her opponent, but they did mention that she will be basically debuting at TLC. But aside from Asuka debuting at TLC, we also have heard opinions that the Shield will be reuniting at TLC. So this might be a big epic pay-per-view, whether Brock Lesnar's on it or not. So let's start with Asuka, Ray, because we are running short. Before we get to, of course, the Green Machine. So starting with Asuka, what are you expecting from Asuka now that she's on the main roster?
Dominance. Wait, I think I forgot a word. Okay, dominance. Like I said, the minute we found, well, sadly I wasn't able to say it on this show, but I've been saying in the past few weeks on a certain podcast, I've been saying Asuka's going to come in and dominate the women's roster. I felt Nia Jax should have won the title last night because that's the perfect rivalry, have the dominant diva or woman superstar and Nia Jax dominate the roster, bring in Asuka, who's still undefeated, and her be the one to take down Goliath. But
well,
I guess we'll have to see what Asuka does now. That's still going to be a great match. It's still going to be Asuka and Bliss, that could still be a great match whenever Asuka does get a title shot, and possibilities are endless.
So do you think that Asuka is going to just go straight for the title come her debut, or do you think that they might give her to Nia Jax or what have you?
I feel now how if Nia Jax did not become champion, that's going to be Asuka's wall. It's going to be Asuka versus Bayley, Asuka versus Sasha, Asuka versus maybe even Emma. They'll do that. And then Nia is going to be the one that, no, you have to get to me if you want the title. That title's mine. So that's going to be her wall. That's going to be the place where Asuka may be like, okay, I've defeated everyone. Now I need to get through you.
Well, the reason I'm asking this because Asuka did defeat Nia Jax already in NXT.
But that was one of her main challenges as well. So remember that it wasn't just an easy 1-2-3 victory.
No, it was not an easy challenge for Asuka. But basically, what I kind of agree. I see where you're going with this, Ray, because whereas I understand the reason behind Nia Jax being the person that should be fighting Asuka for the title at TLC, but I also see this. I also see where, you know, how they're portraying Alexa Bliss being this goddess, you know, being the underdog no matter who you put her in the ring with. Like last night, she defeated four other women, four other great women, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Emma, and Nia Jax. Like, the odds were against her. Let's be honest here. And they're building Alexa Bliss to, again, be this goddess that she could, she's the goddess of the women's division. And Asuka is also the empress. So can we see maybe the goddess versus the empress at TLC?
I don't think they're going to give her the title shot flat out first. I don't think, if WWE does that, it's going to be, it's kind of going to be making it seem if she loses to Alexa, then who's really going to beat her? If she wins, it's no choice. It's like, oh God, what the hell is going to happen to the women's division? If she loses, you just ruined a 500-something day streak to one match. So it's kind of like they can't do that straight out the box, George. I would love it because it's Asuka's debut, but it's still going to mess up any build.
Now, my question is, whether Asuka wins the title at TLC or she wins her singles match at TLC, you know, needless to say, we have to admit that no matter what happens at TLC, whether it's a title match or a singles match, the undefeated streak will continue even in the main roster. That's for sure. That's my opinion. Now, if the undefeated streak, if my opinion does come true, who's going to be the person in the main roster that could defeat Asuka? Now, a lot of people are already saying that before WrestleMania, that Charlotte will be transferred back to Raw to fight Asuka. But at the same time, they've also been saying that that Ronda Rousey coming into the WWE will be fighting either Charlotte or Asuka at WrestleMania. And, of course, being her, Ronda Rousey, will be the one to defeat Asuka. Now, personally, me, honest to God, because I haven't heard any news about Ronda Rousey signing to the WWE, but if I had to choose between the two, and if these rumors are true between Ronda versus Asuka or Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania, I'd rather see Charlotte be the one to finally break the streak rather than another part-timer, in my opinion, or one-timer.
That's the thing. I know Ronda's been training, so I'm hoping that's not it. That's not going to be, okay, they're going to build up Asuka, and then Ronda takes her out. I'm hoping that's not it, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm just hoping that it is a dominant debut, and we see some interesting combinations of matches later on. But I guess
agreed.
Let's speed up, because we're missing time, George. The Shield reunion is happening. The only thing I could say is, I believe that.
Oh, I believe that. Listen.
Sorry, George. I'm a Shield and Bullet Club mark. I love the Shield. I used to love
that
Shield
team. with the Shield possibly reuniting at TLC, I feel like that one thing right there will sell out the entire arena and pay-per-view buy rate. So I feel like that's the one thing that the fans have been asking for decades. I think it's the only reason why Roman Reigns will be cheered nowadays, in my opinion.
Yeah, because they've been asking since Steph and Dean returned together. It's like, okay, now we want Roman. So I guess we'll see what happens. Hopefully it gets a good reaction. If not, there's no hope for Roman Reigns. Because more fans cheered for John Cena losing last night than they did for Roman Reigns actually going over.
Well, let me ask you something, actually. What if the Shield get booed due to Roman Reigns joining the Shield? Would that kind of like backfire on their plans? I stumped you there, didn't I?
Ooh. I'm gonna take a little time and I'll get back to you by the end of the show. Because yeah. George, it's 7:20 and we don't wanna get a Green Machine angry.
Alright, so let's call go ahead and reach
a very
out.
Good guest.
Alright, so let's go ahead and reach out to the Green Machine. Of course, the elite athlete and the first ever BCW World Heavyweight Champion. I'm talking about Mr. Mike Orlando. Let's reach out to him. Why do I have a feeling? Guys, we are on live radio, so.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
I don't want to hear his number over the phone and give it away.
Yep, we don't want to give that away.
No way, Jose. So, okay, we're going to give him a couple minutes. To maybe see if he calls
I know
back.
He's ready. He's ready because I've been speaking to him a little while ago. The minute I found out that he's the guest, I'm like, ooh. I just saw him on Saturday. He doesn't tell me.
Yeah, and of course he defeated his opponent. If you told me correctly about that, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on because he's not going to be happy about how he won. He's still not happy. Yeah.
Oh jeez, should I hide behind you or something?
When we talk about that match, yes, stay behind me.
Okay.
Because he's not happy because an old friend of mine showed up. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll just start doing
You know. With the whole Mike Orlando situation, and mind you, some people don't know, for people who don't follow Mike Orlando was an NCAA football player before he ever became a professional wrestler. And I would love to hear his opinion on what's going on with this NFL fiasco, with the kneeling down.
Oh, gosh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure he has an opinion on the situation as he came from that era of football, and I'm pretty sure he has an opinion, but here's the one thing I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask him, of course, about what he thinks about that situation, but for everyone tuning in, I need you to make sure that you respect his opinion, because that's everyone's opinion. Everyone has the right to an opinion as a U.S. citizen, so by all means, I'm respecting
But the law is the only one with the right opinion. I'm the only one with the right opinion, George.
Listen, you smart aleck.
Damn it.
Listen, you smart aleck. Anyway, so again, we're going to give him like about a minute more to see if I don't want to sound like I'm bothering him while he's probably in the gym or working out or talking to a promoter. You know, that's the last thing you ever want to do when it comes to a pro wrestler, Ray. As you know, as you're in the wrestling business.
Yep.
All right, so let's go ahead and
always handle the business, brother. Always handle the business.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and reach out to Mike Orlando one more time.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Orlando? Okay, we got something, but I don't know what. The line had just dropped. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, live radio. Okay, so I went ahead and sent a message over to his office to let him know that we are calling. Maybe he didn't know who was on the line.
He just sent me a message. I told him now you're trying to call him. It's live radio, folks. We do what we have to.
But here's the thing, Ray, and I can't stress this enough. That's what makes us so special, because we don't pre-record this stuff. We don't kind of pre-record and be like, hey, people, we're perfect. No, we are as regular as anyone listening in. And that is what makes us so special, because we're real that way. So that's what sets us, Russell City, apart from anyone else.
George, are you calling the right number, brother?
Yes.
Because he just said he hasn't received the call yet.
I actually got the number that he sent me, which I'm going to go ahead and send. Yeah, I'm going to send it to you right now. Confirm it for me.
Okay, brother. Again, this is live radio. This gives us a little more time. I'll talk. Again, the Shield reunion's happening. So that's going to be something interesting, folks.
Yeah,
that's
so going to
be something everyone's
going
to want to watch. Okay, I'm going to send it to him.
That's the number he has sent me.
Okay, let me make sure. I think that's correct. I think I've seen that number before, just making sure. Just send it to him, get the confirmation, give another ring. And no, you had the wrong number, George.
That's the number he sent me.
You goofed somewhere.
No, I didn't.
It was a 2 instead of a 3, George.
I copied and pasted. Listen,
just
Ray.
Call the number. The law gets the answers. The law gets the answers. Hurry up, Georgie. Call the green machine.
I'm calling the green machine. Good Lord. You and your office always does things wrong, Ray.
Hello,
Mr. Orlando.
Yes, sir. How's it going, guys?
Good, Mr. Orlando. Well, first and foremost, thank you so very much for taking your time to speak with us here tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me. Can you guys hear me? My phone is almost dying on me. Thank God I'm almost home. I'm hoping I can still make it.
Okay.
Can
well,
you guys
if,
hear me, though? Yes?
Yeah, we could hear you
yep,
just
we're
fine.
Good, brother. We can hear you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Good to be here.
No, thank you so very much. And, Mike, I know you're very, very busy. You're probably one of the top prospects in professional wrestling, one of the hottest free agents right now in the business. And I know you're always extremely busy. So more like thank you for taking your time, because, again, with all that on top of your shoulders, it's like it's hard to make, easy time for in your schedule. So I appreciate it very much, man.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I mean, if it wasn't for people caring about what we do, though, we wouldn't have any exposure. So I thank you guys for actually taking the time to do it at the same time.
It is our pleasure, sir. It is our pleasure. So one thing I have to ask you, Mr. Orlando, just in case your phone does disconnect due to the battery like you were mentioning.
One thing
I do want to mention, for the people who are just being introduced to Mike Orlando, and guys, if you're now being introduced to Mike Orlando, you guys have been living under a rock. But basically, your background, you were an NCAA football player before you entered professional wrestling. We all know the fiasco happening currently right now in the NFL with the whole kneeling down during the Pledge of Allegiance and everyone having their own side of the story. I want to hear from an actual football player like you who has background in football. What did you have to say about the situation over the past weekend?
I think everything that's going on, honestly, it's really crazy, just to say the least. I don't really I don't know what everybody's motive is in all of this. I guess everybody has their own side to it. I just think everybody's looking to make an expression out of it, and they're using it in the wrong terms, in my mind. I don't think the NFL, I don't think the national anthem, I don't think any of that stuff has anything to do with taking a knee on the field. But I think when they do it there, it almost like, truthfully, in my opinion, you're mocking your sport. You're also mocking your country, and there's a lot going on, and I understand that we feel a certain way about it, but I don't think a football field during the national anthem is the place to do it. We have town halls. We have all these things we could do. We could rally together as a country. We could come together and talk, but somehow, some way, we're going to take million-dollar players and have them step down on the country when we have $1,000 troops that are being killed every single day for those people to be able to make that money. So I don't think that's the place to do it. It's my honest opinion on it.
And I understand that's basically what I mentioned before you came on the show, saying that, guys, for anyone listening, even for us here on the studio, that we have to respect your opinion, because as U.S. citizens, we are given that right for an opinion. Now, I have to say, Mr. Orlando, do you feel like this action, the thing that everyone's going back and forth with, whether they support the move or they don't support the move, do you think this kind of like hurt the football business?
Yeah, 100%. This isn't pro wrestling. You know what I mean? This isn't a drama thing. This is a sport where you compete between the whistles, and the back and forth just makes everything look so unprofessional and so stupid. It looks like you're taking a platform, and it's just, I'm not saying the reasoning is wrong in any way. Whatever anybody believes in, like you said, it's a matter of opinion, and I am the first person to say everybody's entitled to their opinion and their side on everything. So I think everybody's right in their own way, but again, it's not the place to do it there. So yeah, it's hurting the credibility of the NFL. The NFL isn't the WWE, and the WWE wouldn't even ever do this on their programs. So
yeah, and mind you, like it baffles me of how much of social media, like once you log on to social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, no matter where you go right now, that's like the number one talk of the town.
And isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
like, that's crazy when you think of it.
You know, even pro wrestling fans, people who have never seen a football game in their life, is talking about it. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, one minute we were talking about the XFL, and now we're talking about football players kneeling down to the national anthem. It's like, what?
Right. No, I'm totally with you, man. It's a world where we live in now where everybody is expressing themselves in their own way, which is great. But it gets to a point where I don't think the NFL needed this, especially with the head injuries and the concussions and all the things that's going on, where guys are going through things where they're reaching a certain age and having dementia and all these head-to-head injuries, where now they're trying to, in 2018, basically take all the hitting out of football. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you can't have helmet to helmet. You can't have intentional targeting. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it makes me so aggravated as a football player from the end of the day, because I know the reality of it, and there's no regulations. It's just a matter of when and who is going to get called for what. And that's where the credibility of the NFL already struggled. Now you're going to take a storyline-based real-life problem and highlight it, where people aren't even talking about the Giants being, what, 0-3? They're not talking about people kneeling. So it's like, that's not even a shot at the Giants. But I live in New Jersey, and they should be talking all the time about the Giants winning. Now the Jets won a game, and I had no idea. And I'm not a football fan, but nobody over here is talking about that. So I think we really we're affecting our own brand with that.
Yeah, and mind you, I have to say, like, this fiasco somehow has to end, because eventually, because it's getting a little out of hand. It's getting to that point, it's like, okay, guys, stop. Because first it was, I remember this very clearly, when, in social media, nowadays you don't even see, like, peace between people, like friends, I mean. Like, it all started, I believe, during the Trump and Clinton's fiasco. People were defriending and bashing each other, friends, family. And now it goes on all the way to football, and it's like, guys, stop hating on each other. Love each other. We're all one country. If you want to hate on anything, if you want to express an emotion, express the emotion on people that need your help in Puerto Rico. Spend that valuable energy for those people. Because right now you're wasting your energy on things like this. It's like, why? Don't do that to yourself. Like, Mr. Orlando, question. Like, I'm not saying that you don't like your pro wrestling career, because, again, like, you're a number one prospect in the business right now, and you're, like, one of the hottest free agents. Do you ever miss being a football player? Do you ever say, oh, one day maybe I want to put back the gear?
Never, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, and I will never, ever want to do it. I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world. I will never, ever put on another pair of pants and a helmet. I've actually had a couple offers this year. Were reaching out of nowhere for arena teams talking to me. And I no-sell every single message, or I just thumbs up them. Like, I will never, ever step on a football field again.
Even if it was the XFL, though?
If a one-time thing, sure, absolutely. But I better get a WWE contract out of that if I'm doing it.
So, hey, I think that's a, kind of like a win-win. Not only do you bring in an experienced football player like yourself, but then at the end you still earn that WWE contract.
Oh, 100%. You know what, man? I thought, and this is just maybe because I'm high hopes, but I thought when they were talking the XFL a couple months ago, I was waiting for a couple calls to be made for something to, you know, be made. There's a lot of independent wrestlers that were football players, a lot of storytellers out there, man. I mean, we could have brought that back for once a year. I'm sure WWE could have made a lot more money than they did when they first initially made it.
Well, that brings up a question then, because I know XFL to a lot of fans were football fans, I mean, were practically, they saw it as a joke. Hence why they even ended the season so quickly. Like, for a football player like yourself, Mr. Orlando, were the feelings the same as a fan? Like, was the XFL pretty much like, what in the hell is this?
No, I loved it. I mean, and I hated football, which, you know what? That might be the answer to the question right there, actually, because I hate football. I've always hated football since I played it, and I did it because I loved the team and the camaraderie, and it was always that I was going to become the biggest possible guy I could be to be a wrestler. So, yeah, I love the XFL, so maybe it was all messed up because I liked it. So, and I hate football, so that's a trick question, kind of. But I, as a former football player, I look back and I watch what they were doing, and they were some of the most talented dudes in the world. They just had chickens running around with their heads off, and that's the problem. I mean, it wasn't that it wasn't the strength of football. It was just that no one had any idea what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, as soon as things started getting good and they knew what they were doing, boom, they lost everything. So it's like an independent promotion. You start out, you draw 50 people. You're like, oh, man, it cost me a ton of money. I'm losing everything. You draw another show there, and you draw 150 people. By show number 10, maybe you're drawing 1,000 people, and the XFL finally was doing their thing, and then their TV cameras would go out on them, and things would go out on them, and people lost interest. And we're also in a different time period now where reality TV is the biggest joke in the world. So how in the world can we have reality TV and not be able to put some dancing cheerleaders on TV and then play some whatever fake real football, whatever have you, it may have been, and then have the Harlem Globetrotters be a thing in 2018 still? It's just pick and choose, that's all.
You know, now that you, like, it seems like to me, like, every kind of sport is also evolving in a way. Like, even the UFC is evolving, you know, into this big entertainment conglomerate. Like, never did we expect, like, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, for Christ's sake, you know, in a boxing ring. But it's like a lot of sports are evolving. Pro wrestling, for one, is evolving. A lot of people even say, give credit to the independents for being the reason why the big dogs like the WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor are changing their ways as far as styles is concerned in the ring. Hence why fans are now saying, this is awesome. We heard it a couple times last night in No Mercy. So now that you're in the ring, now that you're a professional wrestler after your football career, tell me, how do you feel with how the business is evolving while you're in it, Mr. Orlando?
Well, I actually was still a pro wrestler as a football player. I started wrestling in 2011, and I was still playing ball at the same time. I was doing both. And I watched it kind of change, but at the same time, I was so busy with football, I wasn't a part of it. I'll never be like, oh, I was part of that change. I was never a part of the change. It was just, I was a wrestler in a building being trained to wrestle. I wasn't a professional wrestler on the road yet. And I was playing football and kind of doing my thing and watching all of these guys, and everybody was ridiculing, oh, CM Punk sucks and Chris Hero sucks and this person sucks. And then that was the old school mentality. And all the indie fans were like, you know what, though? We kind of like that, so we're going to go watch that. And then WWE had all this stupid money, and they were like, okay, well, we can keep our business going no matter what. So they did it their way still. And then the independent scene slowly not even took over. It just became its own entity. It was like, okay, well, the WWE doesn't want to change their style. These people will. So then TNA was like, hey, we have some money, and these people like a different style, so we're going to come to TV with a different style. We're going to have a six-sided ring. So they do a six-sided ring, and they said that's going to attract some people, and now people can watch something alternative on TV. Then they start bringing former WWE people in, and people start paying attention to their product. The evolution came in the freedom of leaving one brand and having a competition to go to. So I'm all for the change. I like the This Is Awesome. I like the independent matches hitting the TV. However, at the same time, you watch 205 Live, where they struggle at certain points trying to keep interest because it's just wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. But that's also a test dummy where they have to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, how to make something work. Now everybody's talking about how much they hate Enzo Amore being Cruiserweight champion. Okay, well, nobody was talking about Neville being champion. We all liked him as champion. We were all okay with it. We all loved his matches, but we weren't tweeting about it. We weren't writing anything about Neville. But all of a sudden, now we do something we don't like, we're all complaining. We might watch the next show. So they're learning a balance between the two. So I am all for change in every single sport and every single thing, because the more we live in the past, it's like us going back on the Constitution and really living how they did back in the day in the 1800s and the early 1900s, and going back to all those days in time where things are so different. You can't live like that in today. So how could you play a sport that was made 100 years ago the same way 100 years later? Because you have different athletes. There's supplements. There's training abilities. We find out different methods scientifically about the body, how to train. We have 6'6" athletes, and now we have 5'4" athletes at the same level. It's totally different. You know what I mean? So I'm all for change.
Yeah, and I am too. It's like, and I completely agree with what you were mentioning about the whole Enzo thing, because I heard you say about, oh, like, people are now complaining, so guess what? They're going to tune in next week. And I say they're going to tune in next week because now they're going to be stuck on that program to say, who's going to beat them? Who's going to be that guy that's going to beat Enzo? Because I just don't like the guy. So that's kind of like, you know, that's how you attract those fans. And I completely agree with what you're saying. So it's all about business. And even in business, Mr. Orlando, and this is my last question because Ray is already giving me the eye. Mr. Orlando, yeah, so Ray's giving me the eye saying, hey, I want to ask questions too. So basically what I wanted to ask is, you know, with being business and all, a lot of people that I've had on this show, they've said, hey, this is the perfect time to be in the independents because of how popular the independents are to the WWEs, to the Global Force Wrestling, or Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, or ROH. But to some people, they're still struggling to get there. Like, what is it that they're doing wrong, Mr. Orlando, to say, hey, I'm struggling to get their attention?
What do you mean? Like, are they going wrong in keeping the major audience attentive to everything you're saying? Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know how they've been calling about a lot of independent superstars to work, like NXT, for instance, or they've or WWE to work Nia Jax, for instance. But then you have those people on social media that are kind of salty, and I'm pretty sure you've seen them, Mr. Orlando, where they say, oh, why is that person on TV? I should have been there. You're doing something.
Yes.
Yeah, you're doing something. I don't know exactly what, but you're doing something that's not catching their attention. So what can they do to fix that?
Honestly, it has nothing to do with anything. Like, that's what I've learned with this wrestling business. It's, we all think, oh, if I change this or I do that, they're going to pay attention to this. Now, with the NXT brand being what it is, they're watching everybody. And that doesn't mean if you have a pair of wrestling shoes and you go to a ring, oh, the WWE is watching me. No. You have to get to credible shows. You have to get to places that people have eyes on. And the thing about it is, there's no secrets anymore. Everybody knows what places are credible and which places are actually going to get you to another level. And it has nothing to do with even talent anymore. It is literally the right time, the right person at the right place. And there could be a million people that wrestle in one room and one interviewer waiting to interview them all. And Vince McMahon walks in and looks at the interviewer and says, that's my next U.S. champion. Every person in that room can be better than that interviewer at wrestling. And it does not matter what they think. It's one person's opinion to take that person out of the equation right there and put them to the next level. And that's where the whole, oh, that should be me thing. Like, if I had no censor, I could go on every curse word in the book when people say things like that, because if it should have been you, it would have been you. And there's a role for every single person out there, and it may not be a TV role. And I have no problem throwing some of my business out there, but like, a lot of opportunities have been my way where they're like, we would never use you for that because you're not a throwaway guy. We're not a guy that we're going to send you out there to get your ass kicked by Braun Strowman. We're investing in you. We're flying you to the Performance Center. We're having you stay here on our dime. So why would they waste what they're investing into a stupid, you know, one-off thing? But however, if you're a guy that's getting an opportunity to do a stupid one-off thing and they say, well, he did a really good job there. Now the next step is maybe you're getting flown to the Performance Center, or even that was your tryout. Maybe that was it. They're like, you know what? That's it. This guy's good. We'll do something with him. Put him somewhere. Like, that is how it works. It has nothing to do with the credibility of a star anymore. It's more, if you want eyes on you, just go out there and get it. Like, you can get eyes nowadays. You don't even have to leave your house. Go on social media. Talk some shit into somebody, hashtag something and get somebody to go backing you. There's so many different alternatives, and then get out the door and physically go to shows and physically promote your matches and cut promos and get a YouTube following, get an Instagram following. And there's just, if you want it, there's so many ways and so many people out there ready to help. That's my opinion. So the people who hate are just people that sit there that tell you you can't do something with your life, you know?
I've never seen so much hate. One scenario, like, just comes into my head in this one when we're talking about this. And one major scenario was when James Ellsworth was signed. when he was known as Jimmy Dream in the Independence, I would never forget how many people got onto social media and just spilled so much negativity when James Ellsworth was signed. It was beyond belief. But
just to interrupt real quick, you know what's so funny about that, though? It's like, so many people were so quick to say something, and that man, okay, has had a contract for, what, over a year? Okay, he has been in some top storylines. He has an action figure coming out. Okay, he's in the video game, if I'm correct. You want to hate on the dude, like, that's really cool. Like, that's what you do because you're not somewhere you want to be. But there was a role that needed to be filled, and that was the guy to fill it. And people don't understand that. There was Santino. There was all these people that could even wrestle and weren't even given the opportunity to show that off because they had a role and a gimmick that they had to give to people. And you have to accept your role and excel. And then James also had an opportunity, and he excelled. So all that hate, man, I embrace it. The people who hate, you could pick them out right from the sore crowd real quick.
Hey, Mike, just a fun question before I turn it over to Ray, because Ray's now, like, literally threatening me over here to mute my mic. But little fun question, just to shoot it out of the hip. Would you have ever taken that comedy role?
Yeah, absolutely. You give me a job, I'm gonna be the best job person you need, whatever you can call me, employee. There you go. That's what happens, you know, working 9 to 5 in 5 years. I just call myself job person. But yeah, but I would have been 100% anything they needed from me, anywhere. Anywhere that's giving me money to help me pay my bills as a wrestler.
That's awesome. And that's what we need more of in this business, because nowadays, like, I've also seen in the independents that they say, hey, you're losing to this guy. And they say, no, either more money or I'm not doing the match. And it's like,
Again, find every curse word in the dictionary and scream it for me, because that's how I feel about those people. They never had any real win in their life. That's the problem. I mean, I never, ever, ever, ever cared about wins and losses in wrestling. I mean, get real, man. It's just so – I mean, if it doesn't make sense to the story and you have an opinion, sure, no problem. But if you're like, oh, yeah, no way, brother, brother's under me, and I need more money if I'm going to do – go knock him out for real. Go fight him. Like, go show him that you can really knock him out for real. And then be like, okay, brother, can you keep going, get your payday now or no? Sorry, that's a little unprofessional, but damn, man, I hate those kind of people.
I've dealt with some of them. I'm not gonna lie. So,
they're everywhere. They're everywhere. It's mostly the older generation, and the older generation that trains the newer generation, that follows the older generation, that follows through with it. That was like a tongue twister, but that is 100% what I'm talking about.
Well. No comment on that one.
Yeah, you know I'm right, though. That's what it is. It's that old generation that still hangs on to that, and then you have those couple of guys that still stick to it that follow that old generation, and most of us, like, just want to fight that group of people that feel that way. It's like, this is entertainment. This is wrestling. Like, oh, I'm not losing the brother over there. It's like, get real, man. Like, what?
The sad part that it's so true.
It's everywhere, and I know exactly what you guys are talking about. Like, it's just, I actually, it's so funny, and I'm not even going to throw anybody's name out there, but I just heard it, like, this past weekend. Like, and I literally was standing there, and I just started laughing. I was like, hey, man, you know this is all fake? And he had a fit. What are you trying to say? Blah, 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 blah. It had nothing to do with my match either. I was just sitting there just hanging out. And, like, I'm not throwing his name out there. And if he ever hears this and he wants to come out and be like, it was me, like, it was me, Austin, I'm telling you. Like, it was hysterical. Like, I called him right out on it. I was like, you know, this is all fake, dude. He was like, what did you say? I wasn't saying anything. I was like, oh, okay, that's why you're so offended.
Yeah,
oh, that's
he's not
awesome.
Lying. I was at that building. I know who he's talking about too. So.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh boy!
I know what you're talking about, brother.
Oh man! I hope I didn't give everyone heat now. But I heard. I don't care about that stuff though. You know what I mean? I'm just the kind of guy that sits there and it's like, okay, whatever you need from me.
Yeah. Hey, you had a great match. Well. Okay, let's start off with controversy, because it was a great match, but it didn't end the way you wanted, because an old friend showed up. So let's start off with controversy, because George, yes, I mentioned earlier, my good brother here, Mike Orlando, defended his BCW Heavyweight Championship against the notorious 187 Homicide. That match ended with not only a legend in this business, Azrael, confronting them both, but the return of EC Negro. What went through your head? Because you're going in, you're having a match of, I guess right now, as a star in Global Force and Impact and Homicide, and not only is, I guess, the number one contender now attacking you, but also a man that shouldn't have been in the building.
My thing about EC Negro is Jarrell. Is that he needs something, clearly. And it's just, wow, like, it's so funny because, you know, like, there's an aura at a wrestling show. Everybody's, like, in an aura. We're all drinking. We're all having fun in stands. Like, everybody's cool. And then, like, there's someone gets hurt, God forbid, and, like, everybody goes silent. There's that moment of, like, and we all get nervous. Like, that moment, whenever Jarrell comes in a room, like, whatever we're doing kind of just goes away. Like, he kills whatever moment we're living in and every damn show we're at, and everybody's figured it out. So it's like now he has to come back to a show that will listen to his bullshit long enough, and then he comes, whatever he does, man, listen, they're going to book his ass for the first time in 10 years, wherever he's getting booked in New York, and he's going to come, and he's going to get his ass kicked, man. Like, legit. Like, Homicide, he'll stab him in the damn ring. Like, he don't understand that. Like, and that's the thing. And my opinion is, yeah, book him. Let's get him back in New York for one more time and see what happens. And I think he should put his crown on the line. And if he wants to wrestle there, if he loses, he can never wear his little plastic crown and run to the ring and actually punch somebody for real. And then I get up from a real punch and look up, and this man's wearing a plastic crown. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you just punched a grown man from behind. You almost just knocked me out for real. Like, you're a tough guy. I look at you wearing a plastic crown at 40 years old. Like, are you kidding me? Like, but that's another story. I mean, Azrael, I'm just going to rip his other ear off. Like, for real. He's another one. Legend, absolutely. He's a little nut. He's nuts right now. I don't know what's up with him. That dude helped me out a lot in my career. But he's like a loose cannon right now. He's swinging at me. I'm getting my teeth and my mouth all cut up. Can't breathe half the time. And he's kicking me in my gut. Like, and it's like, okay, Az, okay. And all of a sudden he kicked me. Man, he cut me open so bad that last show. It was ridiculous.
Damn.
This past
weekend,
that's what you're
talking about?
Like,
this,
huh.
Mike, you
want to
answer, brother?
I think we lost each other.
The one that you got cut up all, like you're saying, you got cut up a bunch there, was this past weekend?
No, it wasn't this one. It was when I wrestled with the championship with him. He actually broke one of my ribs, like, with one of his kicks to my chest.
Holy hell.
And I kind of told the ref, like, one of my ribs were shot. And as soon as I said that, like, six or seven more kicks came, like, exactly to that rib. And, like, I've been struggling with it for a couple of weeks now, like, legitimately. And, like, I don't – for the first time, I was, like, spitting blood. Like, I had no cuts. It was, like, coming up. But it was because I had, like, a cut on the inside from it. But –
Holy hell.
I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. I mean, then he had hit me from the back in the last show or whatever, and he interrupted that match. But the thing about it, Az interrupts that match, and he's a little shoot. Az has to interrupt that because he can't get that match no more. 10 years ago, maybe he could have done something. But nowadays, no one wants to book Azrael versus Homicide. No one gives a damn what Azrael could do. They saw it 10 years ago, and Homicide moved, and Azrael sat. So that's why he has to come after a young guy that's actually doing something. So that's cool. He can keep doing that. And AJ, I mean, as long as AJ is still showing up and on this side of the guardrail, I'm going to keep kicking him in the face too.
Oh, there you go. That's happening in the future because, well, not the next show because from a little birdie, I hear you're facing off against a famous Canadian. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's going to
so
be
I hope
the show
you're ready for that one.
Oh, that's man, I hope he's ready for that one. He's ready for it. I'm ready
well,
to go, man.
I'm going to start asking the real questions now because we got over, well, to my buddy Jarrell because, God, it's awkward being on this side of the fence right now. So I'm going to start asking some real questions because I'm caught in the middle. God.
I mean, listen, here's the thing, and I love it. I love it as the realest thing in the world. Jarrell is my friend. True story. Jarrell is my friend. EC Negro, I hate. And there's a big difference between the two people. But sometimes that human being doesn't know when to differentiate the two people. And all of a sudden, my friend Jarrell has been missing for maybe 7 months, and all I'm dealing with is EC Negro. And it's inside a ring, outside a ring, not in the building, on the internet. And it's like, you know, dude, I'm going to do... I'm doing nothing, actually. I'm going to let Homicide kick his ass.
Yeah, he doesn't have just Homicide. He has DeMonto on his side, too. So, yeah, Jarrell, run, brother. You just opened the can you didn't want. Oh,
100%.
God. Okay, Mike. I got to ask you, like I usually ask everyone, because definitely you've proven this business is for you. What was that one match that got you into this business, brother? What was that match?
Oh, wow.
I wanted
to. Okay. The one that got me in, so not the one that made me love wrestling. So the one that made me decide, that's it, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to say Jericho versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 19.
Ooh.
Yeah, that 100%. I remember watching that as a kid and just watching Shawn Michaels come back, and Chris Jericho is my favorite, and Shawn Michaels was my favorite when I was younger. And it got to the point where I'm watching this and I couldn't believe, like, Shawn Michaels could still do what he was doing, and I couldn't believe, like, Chris Jericho was somebody, like, I didn't like at the time. Like, and he was my favorite wrestler. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, the fan in me really came out the most to me, and it was like, wow. Once it ended and the rest of the show came back on, I was like, okay, I'm back to being a normal fan again. Like, it was like a weird situation, and I remember that moment, and I wanted to recreate that moment all the time. So that's
yeah,
whenever I have
a match,
I always try to... What's that?
Oh, yeah, it's like a heart-wrenching moment because you're, like, stuck in between, like, I'm a HBK guy, but Jericho, and it's like, what do I do?
Right, and if you watch that match, like, that was like an indie match. Like, it really was. Like, you know what I'm saying? And to me, that's awesome. You know, they story-told, yes, but, like, there were tons of spots. And at that point, you had A-Train and what the hell was his damn name? Nathan Jones wrestling, like, Big Show or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, to see them go the way they did, it was a total different, oh my God, moment. You know, even Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio, that was a great match. I love that when Matt Hardy was doing that whole cruiserweight thing.
Definitely, yeah. And that match definitely did tell a story. That is one that everyone does need to see. And just relive that and see that Mike is calling a point, that's definitely one that you'll see on the indies and be like, this is perfect. It's basically like a three act. It's spots, it's the story, and it's just perfection right there.
Right.
Okay, brother. Now, I always go up with the next question is definitely not only the match that got you in watching, but what was that match once you're actually competing that got you to think, okay, I made the right choice?
Probably my first successful one. It was kind of like once I wouldn't even relate it to watching one. It would be kind of my own watching back one of my own matches and seeing me listening to something that actually worked. And then it was like, okay, because I wasn't a football player. Like, I just listened really well. I was a good kid. I just worked hard all the time. So if he told me to do something, I did it. So when I did the wrestling, like, idea, tried it out, it was not like I was skeptical. I knew what I wanted to do. I mean, I walked out of football for a lifetime career for it, you know? So it was like, I watched it back and saw myself do something successful, and it was like, okay, well, I did football successful to an NFL level, so I could do this to the top level too, because I could do anything. You know what I mean? When I'm looking back at it, that would be my security in the business, I guess, in my own self.
Well, I think, in my opinion, you've made the right choice, brother, because I know the fans definitely love you. Just hearing the reactions when I played that music on Saturday, I'm like, yeah, this is the guy that's going to make it. So.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Seriously.
Definitely. Next question, brother, because I know you've had your tryout. You've been around in the indies. But where do you want to make it at the end, brother? What's that one company that's either the E, Impact, ROH, Japan, even Mexico, is that your choice too? Where do you want to go?
I'm comfortable in my career at the point where I get to wrestle around the entire world on my own time and my own schedule and kind of make my own schedule and make my own money. And it's great, but of course everybody wants to get to a higher level, a TV level, a more independent international level. And that's where I want to get to, like 150%. But I want to be obviously a WWE superstar one day, but I am at this point, I'm willing to work with anyone, anywhere that wants to get better and build something up. Like Ring of Honor, they and I have been working together. I train there twice a week. So it's just a matter of time until something happens with hopefully them, or WWE and me are very close in contact constantly, but there's so much going on as far as hiring with them and how much people they're bringing at the same time and storylines. And so that put it on hold a little bit. And Global Force is openly going through a lot of problems, as everybody knows, so they're not really hiring anybody right now. So I'm very open to any ideas. I'm just a happy wrestler, to say the least. It's kind of like I hope to finish WWE, of course, but I'm just happy wrestling. So if somebody pays my bills, I'll finish with anybody, you know?
Amazing, amazing. Well, there you go. That's that one answer that really does sound genuine, because I usually love to ask it. But it's like the usual answer is, of course, the WWE, but it's never that answer of I'm loving what I'm doing now. This is what shows that
right.
You're definitely in this business for the right reasons, brother. Again, like I said, Saturday came off it. Being there, working with you, it's like, hey, this is why you're the elite athlete and you're the green machine, brother.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that, man.
Definitely, definitely. Last question before I hand you off back to George. Brother, what do you want to leave the fans with? What is that mark you want to leave as? This is what Mike Orlando was.
Workhorse. I'm a workhorse. I'm a real-life machine. I just do not stop. And I want if you're ever going to do something, you got to do it 100%. And I just want to be the kind of guy that leaves everybody with that idea that you have to do everything 150%. And if you can't see that out of me, then I feel like you're not really watching me, because I even openly show everybody everything I'm doing and how much I'm getting done. And it's not a bragging thing. It's almost an inspirational thing. It's just if you want something, go get it. So if you watch me, I hope that everything I do kind of has an idea on it.
Yeah, this weekend you definitely put it out. You did a lot of miles. I'm complaining.
Yeah, man,
after 1,600. The show, I went to Connecticut, and I'm like, oh, God, this guy got me beat.
Yeah, man,
it was rough.
I
ran 400 miles this weekend, and you're showing 1,600. I'm like, yeah, I can't complain anymore. I'll just go back to the show the next month. Yeah. But thanks again, brother. I think I'll be seeing you. Hopefully Saturday. We have a party, so I think I'll be
absolutely
seeing you.
Yes, you will. I will see you on Saturday. I'm excited for that, actually. Very excited. BCW, man.
Yeah.
Doing big things.
Yep. We definitely are, brother. So, yeah. Well, just for the fans, because you did mention Jericho. No, it's not that famous Canadian. He's close to him, though. They train in the same place. But that's all we're going to give you now. Stay tuned to BCW. Mike,
yes,
it's been a pleasure. See you then, brother. George, he's all yours, man.
So I have a question here from Alex. I was actually going to let you do your plugs real quick, but I have a question from Alex. He wants to know, Mr. Orlando, why green?
Okay. Hey, I'm going to shoot. So in college, I was a jock, a real-life jock, a real-life elite athlete. I'm not even kidding. So I wore blue. We all wore blue as a football team, and I hated football. So if I was going to do this football thing, I needed to party. I needed to go out. I needed everybody to know that I was a football player, because here I wanted to be a pro wrestler. So on the field, I wore bright green all the time, bright green cleats, bright green gloves, armbands, headbands, you name it. Looked like an idiot all the time. And then I'd go to to say the least, whenever I was decent enough to be noticed, because I would act a fool on the field and act like a wrestler who played football, exactly what you would imagine, paint my face up, and then go out afterwards, and all the people would be like, oh, that crazy green dude on the field, blah, 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 blah. I'd be like, oh, that's me. That's me. Then I'd wear green to the party and green to go out, and they would all recognize the green and the green and the green. It was my way of everybody just identifying me. So when I got to wrestling, I was like, hey, now I'm just going to make everybody identify me the same damn way.
Okay. Why? Like, that would make you stand out so well, I guess, like in the football field when you were wearing so much green and everyone else was wearing, you said blue?
Blue, yep, navy blue. Everybody had blue and I wore a lime green. My coach wanted to kill me, but at the same time, I was decent enough where he had to use me. So he had to use me because he needed me, so I was able to get away with that.
So with that being said, I have to ask another fun question before you go. What's the funnest rib that you've ever done to someone or someone has ever done to you? I know there's a rib in you that you've done to someone, Mr. Orlando.
Oh, I'm the ultimate. I do it a lot. I torture people when they drive with me. If we're driving, I'm the guy who, as soon as you all fall asleep, I'm swerving the car, jamming the brakes, recording everybody and scaring them. That's me. I mean, but I've done some messed up stuff to some people, like, you know, in the most happy, positive way, but, like,
Ace Romero years ago was sleeping in a hotel in Maine, and all of us went in the room, and he was in his boxers, like just his boxers, like what he wrestles in now, and just laying like face first in the bed, and like six of us went on one side of the bed, and we screamed fire, and as soon as he opened his eyes, we flipped the bed upside down, and what we didn't realize was Ace was so damn big, and we didn't realize it, and we were six people, and we really threw him up in the air. So he slammed into the wall as soon as it happened, like really hard, and we almost like broke the wall and stuff. Like it was pretty crazy. And I would say that'd be it right there, man. I've got some crazy stories like that, but that's a whole other day. You know what I mean?
Remind me never to, like, if I'm ever like at a show and you're on the card, remind me never to accept a car ride from Mike Orlando if he says, "Hey, let's go get a drink or something." I refuse.
That's it.
Oh, God.
I'll shut the lights off on the highway.
Oh gosh. I know who not to ride with after the party on Saturday. I'm
oh
a
yeah, I'm getting AC Uber. Uber. I'm getting Uber.
They're gonna
Ubers
kill me.
All night.
Hey, how was Miami for you, by the way? I know you just had a big show here in Miami, well, in Broward.
Yeah, it was beautiful out there, man. I killed it for like 3 days with my friends. We all did. And just the talent was unbelievable. Everybody was so good out there. And it's just the people were great. And I had, you know, it's Florida. Of course, we just killed it, man. It was just so, it might be a landmark one day I might have to head to for some time. If that's, you know, a thing in my future, hopefully, moving to Florida. Hint, hint to anybody listening. Hopefully.
I wonder what you're trying to clue. But
yeah, right, seriously.
I really hope to have you again down here in Miami, though, like one day for another match, whether it's Miami-Dade County or Broward County. But we would really love to have you back here. And that's me talking as a fan, because you're just a phenomenal guy. You have the right mindset for this business. You have the right passion. You have everything. And, like, we need more people like you in this business. And for that, I thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot. Seriously, I'm going to be down there very shortly again, very, very soon. But,
awesome.
Guys, I'm at 2%, so I'm going to lose you any second.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and do your plugs if you want. Like, how can
yes,
bookers
sir.
Go ahead and reach out to you? Where are you going to be next live and stuff?
Instagram and Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, at The Big Orlando, Facebook.com/Elite Orlando. And you can always reach me through Messenger, however you like. And I'm going to be this Friday in New York with Fight the World Wrestling. On Saturday, I am with NYWC in Long Island. And Sunday, I'm probably going to Canada for Greektown Wrestling. So I hope to see everybody there. Contact me, and let's keep in contact.
Awesome. Again, thank you very much for this, Mr. Orlando. And I hope you have a great night, and hope to have you back soon.
Thank you, man. Much appreciated, guys. Have an awesome night.
See you next week, brother.
See you guys later.
Later. All right, so guys, that was the Elite Athlete, the Green Machine, the first ever BCW Heavyweight Champion of the World. Of course, the one I'm talking about is Mike Orlando. And, man, he was just filled with opinions from the Enzo Amore situation, from the football situation, to the business, to people spilling negative in the business. Like, he spoke so, what match even got him into the wrestling business? Like, it was so much. And we thank Mr. Mike Orlando for coming on the show. It was phenomenal. We learned so much about that young man. And if you've never heard of Mike Orlando because you've been living under a rock, this was definitely the interview to listen to. Ray, we did phenomenal. You know, it's been a great, great show. What do you think?
Oh, God, this was – I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we're back. This is definitely what we needed. Oh, God, I'm getting choked up over here because – I'm getting choked up because it was a good episode. The hurricane could not keep us away. We're here. We're together again. And we're here to stay. So, Wrestle City Radio, Rebecca.
Listen, haters are just like hurricanes. They're temporary. There's nothing that's going to stop Wrestle City Radio. So, and yes, that goes out to all the Wrestle City haters. You are just like hurricanes. You're only temporary. So,
unlike us, because we're real.
Exactly.
Get the hint. Get the hint. Because those that we're talking about know what I'm talking about. So.
Yep. So,
you can check that one up.
Well, guys, again, you know, we thank everyone for your support on this show. We have spoken enough. We are going to go enjoy some Monday Night Raw. Next week, guys, we are going to be speaking to international talent Gabby Ortiz. As a matter of fact, funny story behind her, she's a secretary of a mayor during the day and a pro wrestler at night. She will be with us next week on the show. And then the following week, we're going to have ROH star LSG on the show, of course, known as the Human Rocket. And then comes
I may know of something he may be wrestling in November. Ooh, that's going to be interesting.
Well, mind you.
Another contact. There you go.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the crazy part. The following 2 weeks is going to be those weeks that you've been dying for. And, yes, I'm talking about you, Ray. I'm talking about, of course, the living legend and WWE Hall of Famer Larry Zbyszko will be on the show for an exclusive sit-down interview. And then, of course, we're going to have none other than NXT's Danny Burch, otherwise known as the Governor Martin Stone.
Martin Stone.
So, guys,
well, I can't wait for those. We're back. We're going to be strong. George, even though you may want me always to get suspended because those checks are coming in great. Thanks for having me back, brother. It was a pleasure. We're back, people.
We're back. So, guys, with that being said, everyone take care. Be safe. But the most important thing that we ask you to do is, of course, stay real. Good night, folks. So, how much of that dirty water did you drink in Mexico?
Wasn't that dirty? It tastes like tequila. It was tequila.
But did you have any running? Is it true what the rumors say that the water over there gives you the runs? Because I had a very bad run like a week ago, and I just came back from a cruise. Like, I was over there, and I had the run so bad.
George, the light's red.
Are you serious? I just admitted I had diarrhea on the air. God damn it.